Clare FM's Morning Focus.
Brought to you by Shannon Heritage. At Craig and Owen, be amazed at what life was like over 1,000 years ago. Shannon Heritage, bringing our history closer to you.
Welcome back to the programme. Have you ever seen a fat fox? Well, that's the question that's being asked by my next guest. In the title of his new book, which explores the truths and myths behind obesity, Professor Mike Gibney is a professor of food and health at UCD, and his research comes amid warnings of an obesity epidemic in Ireland. He's looking for scientific solutions. Mike Gibney, good morning.
Well, good morning, and we're very happy to be joining you.
And we're more than happy to have you with us. The question, ever seen a fat fox? The answer is obviously no. And I guess that's the point that you're trying to make, that obesity is a human condition.
Yeah, foxes have a very simple life. Their entire function is to pass on genes to the next generation. So they eat enough to keep themselves fit, defend their young, provide for the young, build their lair, and that's it. On the other hand, we have an extraordinarily complicated society. We divide labour, for example. We're the only species that don't prepare or don't procure our own food. We rely on someone else to do it. We're the only species that use fire. We're the only species that cook, and so on and so on. So we're very different. And unfortunately, although we've made ourselves a very beautiful world, it is one in which there is a surfeit of food available 24/7 fairly cheaply.
And so we eat too much.
And we've also made it simple so we don't have to exercise.
But, I mean, all of those things, well, they have a bad side in terms of obesity and being bad for our health. You know, it was never going to be any other way. It was never practical that we'd all still in 2016 be hunting for our food. So what is the point then that you're trying to make in terms of that and perhaps how we need to change our behaviour?
Well, I think it's changing behaviours is a very important thing. But one of the problems we have is that globally, vast amounts of money are being spent on obesity, looking at the minutiae of biology, so that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a fox digests carbohydrate the same way I do, absorbs it, metabolizes it, stores it, and utilizes it exactly the same way. So we can go on studying how rats behave and how, you know, foxes behave or experimental dogs behave. At the end of the day, it doesn't tell us anything about manners, about when someone sits down at a table and says, no thanks, even though they're hungry, or yes please, even though they're not hungry. So those are facets of food consumption which no other species has to deal with. We have to deal with them.
Okay, and we haven't been doing so?
We haven't been doing so very well. And the problem is that some people manage very, very well in this environment which is so full of calories all around you. And some people don't do very well. And where you sit in that league table is partly dependent on genetics. In fact, quite significantly dependent upon genetics. So you inherit the ability to be high up the table and get fat, or low down the table and not get fat. Now, if we were all transported into the plains of Kenya, none of us would be fat.
So if genetics are influencing our behavior as humans, why is it not influencing the behavior of, going back to our top example, of the foxes?
Because the foxes don't have the same genetic variety that we have. They're very narrow. They haven't been evolved the same way that we do. I mean, we evolved to survive harsh winters by getting fat and then surviving the harsh winter. And it was those people that could store fat that stayed alive and kept their genes going onwards to the next generation. So human beings have genes for the storage of fat under difficult conditions. The problem is that, as one fellow said, genes load the gun, the environment pulls the trigger. So it doesn't matter how many gene bullets you have in your gun. If you're not in the right environment, it won't matter.
Okay.
But if you have those gene bullets and you're in the right environment, bang, you will get fat.
Okay, so if it's our genetics then that are causing this to a large extent, if it's nature rather than nurture, how do we address
it? Both of them are in operation, but one of the big problems we have is people seem to think it's only nurture and not nature. It's both.
Okay, so how can we address it?
Well, it's the same. It's the same. Same issue. I mean, basically, we have to deal. We can't go out with our nature. We only cannot deal with our nurture. So we can only deal with the environment around us, and encourage people to try and adopt a healthy lifestyle, which means to try and bring physical activity into their lives, to get a balance about the food they eat, to be conscious of weight, and to make sure that, you know, if a pound goes on, it goes off. It's not easy, and especially in today's world, which is very busy, with a lot of pressure, economic pressure, social pressure, and so forth, often that extra few pounds falls down the weight in terms of priority, and all of a sudden people wake up fat one day. Nobody goes to bed intending to get up early or get up fat.
Yeah, and you see, this is always my quandary when it comes to this particular issue. Even the fattest person knows that it's not good to be overweight or to be obese, and we all know that if we eat healthily and we exercise, that's the way to looking after ourselves. And yet still, again, maybe it's the genetics, the human condition, we don't do it. We do what is bad for ourselves, even though it's not common sense. So I don't know how we can address that.
Well, that is a big problem. I deal with that book in the book under the title Ambivalence, because human beings are ambivalent to a number of conditions. Now, you wouldn't find that attitude to Zika virus. People are terrified of it. Everyone will run away from it. They wouldn't find that attitude to Ebola. No one will take a risk with it. But people will take a risk with alcohol, with tobacco, with being overweight, with being sedentary, because people say to themselves, look, I'm a little bit fat at the moment, or I smoke a little bit too much, but I can do it. I can change my lifestyle anytime I like. And so they're inclined to say, obesity is a problem for society, but not for me. Alcohol is a problem for society, not for me. So when it comes to the public health issues, there's inclined to be this ambivalent attitude that, yes, it's a bad thing, but I'm okay. But when it comes to things that, you know, that they don't understand and are terrifying, like Zika virus and Ebola and BSE, everyone is scared.
Okay. Just finally then, one of the things you point out in the book is just the absolutely colossal economic cost of all of this in terms of lost productivity, in terms of treating people, etc. Do governments, do legislators need to take this issue more seriously to encourage us to do the same?
Yeah, they do. I mean, basically it costs $1 billion a year in Ireland, roughly speaking. I wouldn't argue that figure, which has come from Professor Ivan Perry in Cork. $1 billion a year is an awful lot of money, and I believe that we could cut that down by half if we worked very, very hard at it. And we could make people's lives a lot more enjoyable and pleasurable. But it does require a huge amount of effort by government, and therein lies the problem. Governments will act when people are terrified. So they act on Zika, and they'll act on Ebola. But people aren't terrified of being fat. So governments don't do it.
Okay, I need to leave it there, Mike, but thanks very much for joining us. People can read more of your thoughts on this in your book, Ever Seen a Fat Fox? Human Obesity Explored. It's published by UCD Press and it's out now. We will have more memories of Muhammad Ali next.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.